This is a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network, WDPN, bringing you the very best in internet talk radio.
It's really hot in here.
Yeah, these things happen.
Oh. Hey, man.
Hey, man.
How's the ride?
Ride was okay. It was your standard issue Parkway South drive. So things go. Your dog just tried to cut my carotid artery.
You know, they say dogs have really good instincts.
Yeah, so he probably...
So
it's kind of warm.
I kind of want to explain to everyone listening that this has happened a full hour and 15 minutes before.
I feel like I've been here before. Yeah, we just have no proof of it.
Well, we do.
Oh.
It's just not all opening at the same time. Like I try to open it on the computer and I don't know what happens. Like it just malfunctions. It opens up like the WDPN thing, and then
sure.
It has the intro music, and then it has me introing you, and then nothing after that.
Oh, okay.
So I mean, they are in there file by file. Like I guess it cuts it into small pieces through Audacity, and I don't know why it decided to not open anytime I tried to, but it's gone.
Maybe it just judged my my interview on the merit of its content and said, you know what, we're gonna delete this shit.
It's a very good possibility.
So how are you, buddy?
So how long has it been since we did the interview?
Yeah, 2 weeks, week and
so
a half.
in the 2 weeks, week and a half that we haven't been, or since the interview, has anything completely awesome or catastrophic happened in your life that we can start off by talking about?
Awesome and or catastrophic. No, you know what? Things are pretty status quo. Called a few pretty cool wrestling shows. One in particular. Yours. Last week.
Well, it's not mine.
Well, yes, but you were on it.
Holy hell.
Wow. The ghost of...
It's the ghost of last week's interview.
Ghost of last week.
Trying to ruin this one, too.
Already hitting the floor. Oh, we're off to a good start.
We are.
Off to a very good start. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm ready to go. Let's call last time a primer, so now I know that anything and everything is on the table.
It is.
And we'll...
I'm asking you. It is on the table. Everything.
Yeah, we'll go from there.
All right, so then I'm going to start quick, because there's been something that I've wanted to ask you.
Okay.
And it's not... I mean, it's pretty general.
Sure.
It's not, let me try to find the right words.
What is that?
What, finding the right words?
You've never found the right words ever. You just say
that's
things.
That's not true.
Just
I always
say
find
things.
All right, so listen. I'm trying to figure out, all right, so as to not offend people.
Oh, other people.
Other people.
Because you know you can't offend me.
Correct.
It's impossible.
So this is, do you know how... In the social life that we call, like, our time.
Sure.
Women control who and when, like, sex is had. You know what I mean? Like, all right, so...
No.
All right, so...
Right.
Well, that's what I'm asking. So, hold on.
In
a heterosexual relationship, I feel like the woman is kind of like the dictator of when and where sexual things happen. I think it's up to them.
Yes,
pretty much. Like a guy,
maybe not in the '50s, but somewhere in the last. Right, maybe 30 in the '50s,
the guy was like, "Woman, make me a sandwich and let's have sex." And
yeah,
like, okay, that's what we do. But yeah. I'm saying, so like, kind of now, like, if you're a woman who doesn't have sex, it's by choice. If you're a guy who doesn't have sex, it might not be by choice.
Correct.
Okay, so in the gay community,
yes.
How does that work?
Oh, there's no women to to cut you off. So everybody just has sex with everybody, pretty much. Every stereotype that you've ever believed, we're all just walking cesspool of disease, transmitting it from one person to another. Here, you know, I have no filters, so you know, all these people talking about gay rights and stuff. No, we're just a big old orgy. We walk
But what I'm saying is that there are specific lines in the heterosexual community that.
That's a very interesting question. And it's not one that I necessarily think about a lot. Because obviously a lot of times what will happen is, okay, to put it one way, a lot of heterosexual people, a lot of straight people try to assign male, female gender roles to gay relationships.
Right. Right.
So do gay people. So no, oh, anonymous general manager. Comment.
You know what's weird about that? You said general manager. It was about a hockey hiring. The Sharks have hired former Devils coach Peter DeBoer.
Well, that's an average signing. All right. But no, what will happen is, and what's interesting, is that within the gay community, so many people assign those gender roles to themselves. So the only reason that people get offended is because... well, you're straight. You're not allowed to say that. That's bullshit.
What do you mean by that?
Let's put it this way. I shouldn't, as a gay man...
wear a tank top with a hood?
Yeah. Well, no, I should. This thing is hideous, by the way. I wore this just because it's the most hideous shirt that I own, and I knew you would appreciate it. The thing is disgusting. It's like they got this like Navajo print, but it's like
it's
disgusting. Hang on one second, we're gonna make this
oh my god,
it's like the gay Unabomber. Look at me.
Oh my god.
So totally 180 from that.
Right.
I shouldn't, as a gay man, when somebody says, well, you don't act gay, I shouldn't feel as awesome as I do when people say that, but I'm like, thank you. But what I'm saying is, like, I have an ex who, by all accounts, considers himself very, not a female, but very feminine, and has no problem calling himself a wife or somebody's bitch or their girl or whatever.
Right.
Like, and so, in a lot of ways, what's funny is, sex isn't as controlled by one gender or the other, but there is a lot of social pressure now, I guess, among gay people as to who has sex when and where.
To label...
I mean, it's more about gender than it is sex. It's more about labeling within... I'm doing a terrible job.
Well, no, I mean, it speaks for how confusing it is in general. You know what I mean? Like,
there are no rules. Like, when
right.
The first time I went out on a date with a guy and the check hit the table, I went, well, what the fuck do we do now?
<That's>,
literally,
yeah.
I just went,
I can
and
imagine.
I said to myself,
because
I have to pick up the check because I'm the guy. And then I'm like, well, wait, so is he, what am I doing?
Right. Well,
what
I mean, I so even, I mean, I'm sure there are, and maybe it's just that my mind and my world is confined to what I see and what I,
sure,
you know, what I believe. But, you know, there isn't a lot of romantic comedies with two guys in it,
right,
for everyone to know how to live their lives. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of the things
because
that
it's
I've...
it's hard to write that.
Right, but what I'm
we're
saying is...
not that sure.
Right. But what I'm saying is that, like, growing up for me, watching movies and TV shows is part of how you kind of can acclimate yourself to what,
sure,
the social standards are.
Sure.
For a guy like yourself, there aren't a lot of social standards in media, in, you know, TV and movies,
and
for you to look at and be like, oh, well, that's how I'm supposed to
it's
act.
It's really interesting because I've seen both sides of it. I've met very blue-collar, backwoodsy gay people. Like, out-in-the-sticks gay people. And one of my closest friends for years is one of the foremost gay nightlife promoters and social promoters in Manhattan. He's got, you know, he goes to Coachella with passes every year, and he runs nightlife events, and wonderful person. But they're two totally different worlds. Two totally different worlds. And there's just so many questions. Like, the issue, really, I think the issue with gay people right now is monogamy. Is, are gay guys built for monogamous relationships?
But that's not even just gay people. That's everyone.
Well,
right,
I
now
think that gay people are more open to ask that question than straight people are, because I think there's an expectation that when you meet a girl and you fall in love and you get married and you have kids, that you're monogamous because the church says so, and that's it. There's no hard and fast religious or societal rules that say when you're a guy and you meet a guy, or you're a woman and you
meet
a
woman.
Well, I
think that there are some very hard religious rules on when you're a guy and you meet another guy.
But that's if you, well, yeah. We can get into that too, by the way. I love that.
Oh, no.
No. I love it.
Oh, boy.
I love it. And I'll tell you.
What, like religion and gay?
When I was a junior.
Gay and the religion?
When I was a junior in college, I had a class. I was already openly gay. I was out. And I took a class called Politics of Christianity, Theories of Christianity. Because I had the guy as a professor in freshman year, and I really respected him. And between freshman and junior years, I had come to a lot of revelations about myself. And so I took the guy to lunch, who I found fascinating. He and his wife were great people. His cousin was Mike Lowell, who played for the Marlins and the Red Sox.
Okay.
Third baseman.
Yep, I remember
really
the
good
name.
Guy. Really
I remember
good
the
guy.
Name, yep.
And I said to him, I just want to let you know, over the last 2 years, you know, I've come to, you know, social whatever, and I'm out, I'm gay and whatever. And he looks at me and he goes, I appreciate you telling me that, and I like you just as much as I did 10 seconds ago, but I can't accept what you told me. And I said, what? And he goes, I'm a minister. I'm a Protestant minister, and I'm a literalist. I believe everything in the Bible is the word of God, said, handed down by the word of God. And I said, okay. And he goes, so I can't pick and choose what I believe and what I don't. I love you. I care about you. You're a good guy. I have no problem with you. But I can't accept the fact that you think that you're gay. And I said to him, that's really fucking refreshing. Because I am tired of... the one thing that I can't stand is like, you know, oh, you're not like most gay people. When people say that, I'm like, wait, what? What does that mean? What does that mean? Or... oh, I believe I'm a Christian, but I don't believe everything about the Bible. No, that means you do. That means you do.
What do you mean that means you do?
Because if you are,
because if you call yourself a Christian, then it means
that's your book.
Well, I mean, I guess, but even now, well, I don't know how long ago this was. I'm guessing more than 10 years ago, right?
Oh yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, but now more than ever, things are starting. Even the Pope, you know, is on Twitter, and you know, he's saying things that are way open and way past what people used to believe.
Well, yeah,
and some of the stuff
they
is
need,
that
because they need people to start coming back to church,
right? But I don't think that's why. I think that
it's a marketing machine, Matt.
I mean,
it's a total marketing machine.
I could see it being a marketing machine, but I also think that people nowadays are just starting to understand that the things that we used to believe as 100% truths are just not what we thought
and
they
what
were.
I what I tend to say to people is like, well, aren't you afraid you're going to hell? I'm like, do you take a shit in your own house? And they're like, what? I said, read Deuteronomy 23. It says if you're going to use the bathroom, you got to go 50 feet outside your house, dig a hole and cover it up. And if you use the bathroom inside your own home, you're desecrating it and you're going to hell. It's the same book. So I'll stop having sex with dudes when you stop shitting in your own house and utilizing indoor plumbing. And we'll be fair. That'll be fine.
Wow.
Just build an outhouse, buddy, and we'll be okay. Yeah. Oh, this is what I wanted to bring up with you when we were talking about at 4 a.m. last night. That's my big out-of-character phase. I had a super Christian phase when I was a teenager. After I got in trouble, I thought that my recourse was finding Jesus. Just like you said, you had your phase where you really dug into black culture and African-American cinema and all sorts of stuff. And I love that, and I totally get it, because, I mean, very different end of the spectrum, But there is that. I feel like you and I are seekers in a lot of ways, where we aren't. We don't necessarily have one social home,
right?
You know,
I totally
got and respected where you were coming
when I was
from.
In high school. I was the guy that didn't have a lot of very close friends,
sure,
but everyone knew who I was, and I kind of bounced around groups.
From circle to
circle.
That's
exactly who I was. Yeah,
yeah.
Which is why when I get married, it's going to be a mess as to who I'm inviting and who I'm not,
because you don't have those social. It's like they say, well, you have your front row and your inner circle, and then your slightly larger circle, and you just got one
right,
big-ass circle.
No, I mean, I do.
Right.
But I think the main thing is that it's just going to be really tough to know who's where and, you know, on what level with me. Who are you texting?
Brandon Kirk. I'm serious.
Why are you texting Brandon Kirk?
He just texted me randomly about asking me if I had a show date set for one particular day, which I've already told him I don't yet. But, July 8th. Asking me about the July 18th show.
What is the July 18th show?
We don't have it set yet, so I can't talk about it. Because
who cares? Just talk about it anyway.
Like, I'm trying to get a show set at the outdoor fields for South Amboy Rec Department.
Gotcha.
Through, Brass and Quest, mainly. Brass's cousin. Brass's cousin's husband works for the rec department.
This is very inside.
Yeah. Crazy inside.
This is crazy inside.
Crazy inside.
Like, people don't know who Brass or... I mean, most people...
If you're listening and you're around here, you know who Brian Brass or Mike Quest or...
Right. But I'm just saying...
Or Chadia.
Right. Most people don't even know who I am outside of, I mean, our little circle of friends. I mean, maybe 5-6 years ago, they did.
No, you got a nice little pop at JAP when you went back.
I did, but that's around here.
Right.
That's the circle of around here. If I went to, I don't know, anywhere in Pennsylvania, I probably, but outside of Philly,
like
I probably
CW
would.
Or up north, like upstate New
right,
York or
right,
something
right.
like that.
Yeah. Which is weird because that, I mean, something like that, I wouldn't say it's like a humbling thing, but I think more people need to understand that what you do. And I had this thought the other day when I was trying to think about guests and who to bring on and think even about a guy like Loki and the way he handles himself, right? And
sure.
The way because you've probably never been in the locker room with him.
I have not, no.
All right. So, but in the locker room, he's very like, this is the way things need to be.
Right.
And if they're not like this, there's not another option. You know what I mean? Like, it's you do this or you're not here.
Understood.
And he's always been kind of standoffish in the back. And I don't know why. And I've always wanted to ask him.
You think it's a strong style thing?
No. No, because Steve Mack is the nicest human being you've ever met in your entire life.
Fair
like,
point.
He's a great
Very
guy
point.
And he's a strong style guy. But what I mean is, I don't know if it's worth sacrificing friendships and social, you know, moments because you think that something that's fake needs to look a certain way. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. I'm all for making this look as perfect as you possibly can and making it look as real as you possibly can.
Of course.
But I think that there are people who go overboard, and I want to know if he feels like he has in his... I don't know, 15-year career, sacrificed too much.
That's interesting. I think on some level, and I'm not speaking for him because I've never had a conversation with Brad, there will be people who will sacrifice those friendships before they feel like they sacrifice the integrity of the business. And I'm not saying that they're on a level that other people aren't, but I'm thinking that there are people who like go into this and they say, I'm not here for the relationships. I'm here to be part of the overarching storyline of protecting the business.
Right. But he's been to the point where he's lost WWE jobs because of that mentality he has. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I don't know if he's ultimately sacrificed everything to be what he thinks is right.
Sure.
But who knows if that's exactly what's right or wrong.
Yeah. Well, that's for nobody, you know. And I don't think there is one...
No, I don't think there's one way, but I feel like he is in a position that he feels like there is only one way because he's made decisions in his career that has put him in a position where now he's not going to be in WWE. He's not. Well, I mean, is well, I mean, TNA is not even on anything anymore, right? They lost Destination America.
Their contract is apparently.
And Ring of Honor just posted something that they're on Destination America starting June 2nd.
Well, TNA's contract with them, and everybody's trying to kill him off. I don't know. And that's another thing. I don't watch TNA, but why should I be, like, why are all these people taking a lot of joy about TNA going off the air? Because those are people's jobs.
Right. Well, we live in a world where people find, like, it's the same reason why everyone's so happy Tom Brady's getting suspended, or the fact that,
right,
because we like to see things crumble,
right?
And I hate that. Like, it, me, I hate it, because the one thing that I feel like is a good point about me is I'm very empathetic, and I think that stuff like that, it's embarrassing to find joy in some, and it's not just one or two,
because
people.
We all
it's,
know what the cycle is. The cycle is all these guys are going to say, oh, thank God, we can get Manic on the indies now for cheaper, and we'll get Manic in the indies, and we'll get Austin Aries, and he'll come around, and he'll work, and then 6 months from now, we'll start bitching about why he's not on television.
Right.
You were the one that was happy that his program got pulled.
Right. Well, I mean, listen, TNA was great. I remember watching it when it was on the Wednesday pay-per-view schedule.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And guys like Red and Key and Elix Skipper and Christopher Daniels and AJ.
When Killings was on it.
Yeah, I mean, listen. Great. It was when it was different.
Yeah.
And it was innovative.
Six-sided ring.
But not even before that.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, when they did the Wednesday pay-per-view angle, like when they were just on Wednesday night's pay-per-view, you buy it, I think it was like $10 or something, or $6 something.
Yeah.
You buy it every week. It was different. Like, the matches were unbelievable. It was like Ring of Honor, but on a different level. And people wanted to see it because it wasn't WWE TV. And I even talked about this with Steve Mack. When I first started watching wrestling and stuff, all I knew was, like, the WWE brand of wrestling.
Right.
And then I went to a Jersey All-Pro show, and the first match was two students who looked like me, and they were doing flips and crazy stuff. And I'm like, what is this?
Right.
And TNA, when it first came out, had a lot of people saying, well, what is this? Because it brought that Northeast Ring of Honor style to a whole new level, and people were like, what the hell?
Why are people...
people that never, and now they are.
I'm in your house recording a podcast.
For his network.
For...
And he's calling you.
I haven't heard from him in like 2 months.
I don't know.
What's happening? Anyway. Very odd.
You timing. Should answer it.
No, I shouldn't.
Because then he can listen to this.
The timing of it is weird. Yeah. I just don't, when I tell you, I don't ever hear from anybody before 7 p.m.
Really?
Ever. Because people know that I don't really contact any. I'm nocturnal.
You're a night owl?
I'm totally nocturnal. You know this, though. That's my work time.
Right, well, like when I send you a Facebook message at, you know.
3.
No, like.
In the morning.
No, when I send you one at. No. I don't know, noon, I don't receive a response until 9, 10, 11 at night.
Well, I don't even log. I could be up and about. I just don't really log on until late. I don't know.
You don't have it on your phone?
No. What's no, I have you? The dumbest phone ever. Have you seen my phone?
Well, I just saw it. It's hideous. What is that, the NV2?
No, it's a LG Extrovert 2. The worst reviewed phone in the history of LG and Verizon.
Are you serious?
Dead serious. Got it without knowing. It's got a scale of, what was it, 0 to 5 stars. I think it currently sits at like a 1.4.
Oh, my God.
It's so good.
That's really funny.
Yeah. I basically, for those of you who need a visual, I basically have a T-Mobile Sidekick in 2015.
Right. I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's
like
really
a blue
funny.
Pager. I don't have any other way to talk about it.
You have a pager in 2015.
I'm technologically averse. I didn't have Facebook until the end of 2014, and that's just because CTW was starting.
Pardon me. You're technologically what?
Averse.
What is that?
I use big words.
Averse isn't a big word, I think.
No,
it's a fancy word.
It's a fancy... Okay, fancy words.
Right.
I use fancy words.
It's a fancy word.
I'm not against technology, but it takes me a while to come around. I'm a late adopter. I'm... Not scared of it, but I resist it. I resist technology sometimes.
Why?
I prefer.
Are you technology hipster?
No. Despite what the shirt might tell you, I am not hipster anything.
No, I'm saying, technology hipster, you're like, I don't need one of them cool new phones.
Oh, fuck, am I one of those people?
Yeah,
now?
You are.
Oh, man.
Ah. Look at the line for the iPhone. At least people know what they're talking about.
No, it's not.
I have a flip phone with a keyboard on it.
I can't afford an iPhone 6 Plus. Is that what it is?
Oh,
I can't
that's afford not it. True.
No, like, mm-hmm.
Look at that hair. You have highlights. You
that's why I
it.
Can't afford the iPhone 6 Plus because I spend it on my highlights and lowlights. No, I just I prefer this. I prefer face to face. A lot. There's so much nuance. I'm so inflection and sarcasm and jokey joke based that a lot of my stuff does not translate over social media. It doesn't translate over chat.
You know what's interesting in what you just said is that, like, your stuff.
Right.
You kind of talk like it's a performance.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, is that what you do? Like, are you performing all the time?
Used to. I'm way better than I used to be.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Way better than I used to be. A lot of that is shout out Zoloft. I'm you know, it's funny. I'm adopted, and I didn't meet my biological mother until I was 27 years old. And I met her, and I instantly got a lot of stuff that I never got before in my life. She is manic depressive.
Okay.
I totally get, and I got me. And all the stuff that I thought I was weird for and all the stuff that all the tics and the abnormalcies and whatever that are me, I was just like, oh shit, no, this came right from you.
Hmm.
Like in a couple of hours, I'm just like, oh my God, she does that and she does that and she does that. And she said, oh God, oh.
But do you believe that that's something that you can overcome?
Oh, absolutely. I just think I had a real, I was really conceited when it came to getting on medication.
Really conceited. Like, oh, you felt like you didn't need it?
Medication is for sick people.
Right.
And I'm not no. And I finally got to this point, it's like, who's judging me? Or I can fix this without medication. Sometimes, no, you can't. Sometimes, no, you can't. And I couldn't, you know? And I feel way more genuine to me than I did.
See, that's weird because a lot of
6 years ago,
a lot of people feel like when they're on the medication, they're brought down to a level where it's not them. You know what I mean? Like you're too numb to be who you are.
Oh, I there was an experimental phase. I mean, I definitely was on too much for a little while, and I'm like, nah,
a zombie.
Not quite a zombie, but I'm like. There was like maybe a 45-minute period every afternoon where I'm like, I just need to lay down for a little bit. Just need to like, and I'm like, great, I'm taking old man naps and I'm 28. I need to not do this, 29.
Old man naps.
Yeah. I mean, there are downsides, like the pudginess sucks. Like for me, and it's not terrible, but for me, I'm horribly out of shape right now.
Right.
I feel like crap. Feel like crap.
But that's something you can...
remedy.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm, you know, also a super procrastinator, which bodes well for my promotional career. It really does. When's your next show? When's your next show, Colin? July 18th of some year.
We'll figure it out.
You know what does motivate me, though, is what do I call it?
Dick.
Mocking. Well, yes, being mocked. But
really?
Also dick. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Being mocked motivates
you. Oh my God. Like nothing else.
That's weird because I feel like being mocked for me shuts me down.
Oh no. I just get angry and I'm like, okay. So we were sitting there and I mean, we ran the one CTW show April 17th of this year and it was really fun. And I thought it went well. It could have gone way better, but I know what to do now. To remedy that.
Right. For a first show, it was great. Amazing.
For a first show, I thought it was fine. I definitely had a go big or go home mentality about it, so I think that helped. Are you watching your hair bounce back and forth? Because I was just going to comment on it, but I realized nobody else can see it.
My hair's getting crazy long.
You do whip your hair back and forth.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, bro.
The only reason why I'm growing it long is so I know what the feeling is like to like get sell a punch and like whip your head back and then
you're
here. I just want to do that. So
I hear you.
It's so much fun.
Nice. But what the hell was I saying? Oh, so I'm sitting in Roach's backyard a couple days ago. And it was an offhanded comment. He didn't even mean to be offensive. He was just joking. And we were talking about CTW, and he goes, "Ah, yeah, the shortest running promotion in the history of New Jersey." Because I've had one show, and yeah, there are no concrete plans for the next show.
Yeah, but what does that mean? Like, he looks down on you because you ran one show?
No, or? It was just a joke.
Yeah, but
and he didn't mean anything by it.
Come on.
He didn't mean anything by it.
You know that when he says things like that, it's never just saying it.
I don't know.
Really?
I don't know.
I feel like...
Not for me to say. You know him way better than I do.
I do. And it's good that we used... Because for most people, they won't know who Roach is. But
right.
They might know who the other name is.
Of course.
But, I mean, I just feel like to me, there's never been anything that hasn't been some sort of... Like, I don't know. He's run. He ran a promotion at one point.
Oh, did he?
And it was three shows long.
Oh, so he just doesn't want me to beat three shows.
I'm kidding.
You
know what I mean? It might be.
But I think that maybe he understands that, that's why. Okay. Brandon Kirk.
The train of thought ruiner.
Oh, you're Brandon Kirk to me.
Oh, my God.
So, no, but things like that, and I think on some level he might understand it. He's not trying to be my Yoda or anything, but, like, I think on some level he, like, that shit gets me going. I'm like, okay, I need to book more shows. I need to do more shows. I need to do this now.
Right.
So I'm actually excited that you and I are going up to Wellington after this.
Oh,
just
yeah.
To take a look.
I cannot.
I honestly, like, I have no problem. I've only met the guy once. I have to put over that building huge.
So what we're talking about is the Ace Arena.
Mike Morgan Jr. Ace right. Arena. Yeah.
Yeah, the Mike Morgan Jr.
Oh,
Arena.
Oh, my God. It's not my promotion, not your promotion, not my home fed. I have no vested interest. If you're a Jersey worker or a New York City worker, check out that venue. Check out that facility. It's really awesome.
Well, Mike Morgan has always been very, very good with stuff like that.
Sure.
Not a lot of people know. They think I'm like a Jersey All-Pro homegrown talent, but before JAP ever really gave me a shot, AWA is what it was called back then. Now it's Ace.
Right.
But AWA was the first place to really, like, push me.
I didn't even know that.
Their main guys, when I walked in, they put me in there with them, with, like, Mike Donovan and,
sure.
and Deranged. My first match there was me, Deranged, and Dan Barry.
Wow.
In a three-way, and it was...
Team Tremendous Dan Barry?
Yeah, Team Tremendous Dan Barry.
Have you seen the new shirt, by the way? The Calvin and Hobbes shirt?
The one on Pro Wrestling Tees?
Yeah, in the Calvin and Hobbes inspired
no,
one?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
You know what? It's weird.
It's Dan and Bill cartooned as Calvin and Hobbes in the flyer, the red wagon going down a hill.
Oh,
it's
my
great.
God.
It's so good.
I haven't seen any of their stuff, though, recently.
My God.
What are they? Where are they mainly working? Do you know Team Tremendous?
They do Beyond a lot. They do, again, people I don't know. I've seen, Bill was at CZW a couple months ago. They do Combat Zone. They do Beyond. And they
Dan
do,
Barry is a NYWC guy. He was trained
they do,
by...
I think they do NYWC.
He was trained by Mikey Whipwreck.
Okay.
Same way that... Same place Jay Lethal and the SAT and all them guys
sure.
came from. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, Dan Barry's been around forever. He was... I mean, we worked together... I don't know, 2004, 2005,
sure.
you know, so this is, he's been around at least 11, 12, 13 years.
I'm going to sound completely markish. My introduction to them was later, I was late in the game to Dan and Bill. There's a great clip of them online wrestling Dick Justice and Officer Colt Cabana, and they have the Mexican standoff with the finger pistols.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I honestly haven't seen anything of Team Tremendous. I haven't seen anything of Dan Barry since.
They're fun.
Right.
They're a lot of fun.
I mean, it's not, I don't make it any sort of secret that I really don't know much about indie wrestling as much as, like, I know what's in front of my face. Like, I don't search it out. I don't search out who the new hot guys are. Like, I don't do any of that stuff.
Right.
And, I mean, Steve Mack yells at me all the time for not doing that
well,
stuff.
Well, doubling back
just...
to what we were talking about maybe 15, 20 minutes ago, indie wrestling is so territorial again. It's localized. It's hard to know. Like, we had Ace Perry out in April. I would have had no idea had he not blown up on social media for with the whole story with the prom and everything.
Right.
I would have had no idea who he was. Except he had worked down at On Point the year before. So I said, oh, I know this name.
Right.
Because he had worked in Jersey.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the same thing with a lot of guys from the Midwest. Like,
yeah.
Even when I was pretty popular in Jersey All-Pro, guys like Ricochet and Chuck Taylor, nobody had ever heard of them. And
right.
There was an open call on the JAP message board, who do you want to be in the best of the light heavyweights this year? And someone just posted a video on YouTube, and Frank had looked at it and said, wow, these guys are great, and he brought them in. But no one had ever seen them before. And now look at Ricochet and Chuck Taylor are right. Like main guys on the indie scene. They're like the guys on the indie scene. Well, I know sure. Ricochet is apparently... Isn't his gimmick like King something?
That's in Lucha. Well, no. Lucha Underground, he's Prince Puma, but King Ricochet.
Yeah, he's like...
there.
Yeah.
Chuck Taylor is one of those guys that's really big right now. I mean...
Just and he has been for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
It's hard because I think on some level, and this is me flipping it on you, I didn't think we were going to talk so much wrestling today.
No, you know what? It's weird because as much as... I don't want to talk wrestling. Stuff like this is kind of just natural conversation.
Sure.
So it's not too much wrestling. You know, it's and as much wrestling as it is, it's not very like, oh, what do you think is going to happen on Raw this week? You know, and that's the kind of wrestling that I want to stay away from. I want to kind of more, if I'm talking about wrestling, just natural conversation. We were talking about your promotion. We were talking about other people's promotions, and it just led to this conversation. So, I mean, I'm not opposed to talking about wrestling.
Sure.
If it's just random conversation. I mean, I can ask you about your past if you want to, but I'd rather keep it just kind of conversational.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So now,
segue.
So listen. So now.
So hit me.
So now that you have put the kibosh on our wrestling talk,
I didn't put the kibosh on.
You
it.
Did.
You say
did.
Kibosh. I say kibosh. Am I wrong?
I should look it up.
I think both are acceptable.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to look it up.
Hoagies and grinders.
Hopefully someone listens to this.
Yeah.
And hopefully someone listens to it who is willing to tweet at me or at you. And
at Archadia NJ?
Yes. ARCHADIANJ at Archadia NJ. You like the you were the one who was talking about pronunciation before.
Me, our chatty.
Yeah, was that Wario?
I don't know.
That's not nice. You call me the bad guy, Mario.
So you just did. It's Mario.
Yeah, you did the Wario voice though.
No. There's not really a difference between.
Oh Mario. No, there is, and you did it.
Really?
I heard it.
See, I'm not a gamer. I don't know this.
You're not a gamer?
No, I'm not a gamer. Not really.
Hmm.
I never really, like, I played Madden. Madden. I mean, if we're going way back, you could tell I'm not a gamer because I had a Genesis and not a Super Nintendo or an N64.
What?
Right. Yeah, I had a Genesis.
No.
I had
Genesis to me, because that's who I am. I'm a Sega guy.
Right.
I'd never had any Nintendos.
Really?
I had the original.
I knew I liked you.
Yeah. I had the original NES.
Okay. Yeah.
But then after that went
NES,
Sega.
NES, Genesis. Did you have a Sega Saturn?
I did not. I had a Sega CD, which is abysmal in the world of.
Oh my god. But no, I did. Sonic the Hedgehog and Battletoads.
Come on, man. Oh, Sonic the Hedgehog is the best.
Battletoads and Double Dragon had a game out. NBA Jam Tournament Edition was big.
That's an awesome one.
Dude.
You know, they re-released it for PlayStation 4.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I had it.
Yeah. It's I tried good. To play the emulator online, like Let's Play Sega. It's impossible.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I can't even... I actually played my favorite, all-time favorite hockey video game. Was on Genesis is NBA. I'm sorry, NHL All-Star Hockey 95.
NHL All-Star Hockey 95 All-Star or just Hockey. NHL 95?
No, All-Star Hockey 95.
Hmm.
The only thing that I hated was it's like the most recent FIFA game worthy. Now that I say I'm not a gamer.
Yeah, that's all we're talking about.
Jesus. No, the goalie was impossible to beat. The computer goalie, CPU goalie, was impossible.
In which FIFA?
No, in the most recent FIFA.
Really?
I thought so. I thought that the
what you, was got, it, you gotta drive down the outside.
Okay.
You gotta make a crosser, and then you gotta go header or bicycle kick into the net. Obviously, that's the way to get in.
But I guess when I say I'm not a gamer, I've never really been an RPG gamer, a role-playing gamer. I mean, with the exception of if you consider old school Zelda, that's really it. But I'm talking like Link to the Past was the most recent Zelda game I played with any kind of interest. But yeah, and I don't play like, I am the world's worst Super Smash Brothers player. Of all time.
I challenge you because I am...
I'm really bad.
Yeah, anytime...
I'm the guy that shows up at somebody's house and they'll just, like, after playing once, they'll just be like, just be Kirby because you suck. Just be Kirby and just mash the A button and you might beat somebody sometime because you blow at this. You're terrible.
That's really funny because I love Kirby.
See?
Kirby and Link like were my two favorites.
He's like the noob Smash Brothers character, apparently. And they give it to people who suck at the game.
Oh,
I was like, oh, okay. All right. But I'm terrible. I'm terrible at that.
Oh, my God. I don't even... It's not wrestling-wise, but just a general question.
Yeah.
I feel like fear holds a lot of people back. You know what I mean?
Oh, fair. Totally fair.
And, Let me look exactly where I have this.
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
So here we go. Wow, you are blowing up on the phone.
It's Kessler again.
What is that?
I don't know.
Just answer it. Put him on speakerphone.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey.
Hey, can I? I just want to let you know you're on the air on Arcadia Revelations, courtesy of the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Oh, cool. Who's on that network?
Really? Really? You and scads of other people. I had to get on a waiting list here. I'm sitting across the table from Arcadia. It's pretty cool.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, you might want to invest in like a small AC unit for the
Arcadia Studios.
Spacious studio number two here. There we go. I like it. Let me give you a call back in a little bit when we're done recording, okay? I see what we did there. All right. I'll give you a call back in a little bit. All right.
So
I probably won't, though, because I'm a bad person and I forget these things.
No,
we'll edit this all out.
No, it doesn't make you a bad person to not return phone calls because I am the worst. Because not only do I have...
Well...
Not only do I have an alert... in my phone to tell me that it's which friends of mine it's their birthday today. I look at it and say, I should probably text them and then never
don't.
Do. And does that make me a bad person?
No, like, I mean, it's just, you know.
All right. So anyway, back to what I was going to ask you.
Oh yeah.
Before...
There's a fear thing. I love how you brought up fear in Kessler. In Kessler. Immediately. I heard somebody's cutting a fear promo. All right.
Oh my God. So, on the topic of fear.
Sure.
Is there something, I feel like we're always chasing moments like to get to, like I want to be here and I want to do this. Like, is there a moment you see yourself reaching that you can say, okay, I've gotten here, and it's not like, it's more of like not scared of the future, but like what I mean is, so wrestlers, you know, a lot of them are like, well, if I could just get to the WWE, I'll feel like I've made it. Like, is there a if I could just get to thing for you?
It's interesting. I had to kind of reshuffle life around 30. Again, being adopted, my biological father died when he was 27 of renal cell kidney cancer. His brother died at 27 of cancer.
Wow.
So when I hit my 27th birthday, I'm like, well, I'm going to die this year. It was right before I started becoming involved with wrestling. There was a part of me that just kind of oddly believed that I was not going to make 28. And when I did, I think, well, shit, what do I do now?
Because you never planned for it?
Never planned for it. I never saw life past 28, 30 years old.
Wow.
And when I hit 30 especially, I'm like, oh my God, I better figure out the future because I just never thought I was going to get here. You know, I don't know. I'm very rarely satisfied. I'm very rarely content. That doesn't mean I'm not happy.
Right.
Or optimistic. I'm not optimistic. I'm pretty down the middle. I'm not pessimistic either. I'm pretty square down the middle. I don't know if there's a moment for me, because there's so many different things that I do, and I'm so oddly driven. I'm driven, and I'm a procrastinator. Like I said, I'm an exercise in.
Well, you can pick and choose when you want to be driven and right. when you want to procrastinate.
I mean, I always said, well, if I write a novel and get it published, I'll feel like I did something here. So I did. And it didn't sell. So that got kind of shit canned. And I'm like, well, if I write another one and it does well, then maybe we'll talk.
Yeah, but that's someone else's idea of success. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think... Like, I hate how we as a society define what success is. You know what
sure.
I mean?
Like, it's not
why.
About,
why are we not?
Well, that wasn't a money thing.
Well, but I'm not even
selling
talking,
wasn't a
no,
money
I'm
thing.
Not,
it was
I'm,
an external validation.
Right, right,
thing,
right. Well, but that's
exclusively.
What I mean.
But why
are we not proud of the effort you put in instead of the end result of? Oh my God, people loved it or people bought it. Like you took time,
right?
I don't know how long it took. I'm sure it took time.
Yeah,
but you put the work in. You know what I mean? You worked your ass off for it. You got it done, and creatively, you know, did things that 90% of the world will never do. Who cares if some jerk off that watches, like, I don't know, what's the random history channel, like Swamp Hunters TV, like
Swamp Hunters?
But what, you know what I mean? Like, that's what people like nowadays.
Yeah, that's true.
So to me, validation of being a well-read novelist might not be the best, you know, way to consider
fair
yourself
point.
Successful. Because I feel like 90% of the world, they're dumb as shit, yeah, and you have to right. dumb things down for them to understand it and like it.
The running gag I have with family and friends and whatever is that I do, like, six things really well, and none of them pay. So that's just where we are. Like I said, we were talking screenplays last night. I wrote a short with a buddy of mine. I wrote it, and he filmed it. And funny is that I am the least likely person you would have ever thought to have written a short film that was featured at the Memphis International Black Film Festival a couple of years ago.
I wouldn't say the least likely.
Yeah, I mean, well,
I'm sure that there's other people that are
less likely. Yeah,
some racists, some KKK members.
Fair point. But it was just kind of, I'm like, wow, this is a high watermark of my life. Like, screenwriter for the Memphis International Black Film Festival. I thought it was real.
But you can't
up. Here's the thing: we were in the Big Apple Film Festival with the same film, which is a significantly bigger deal.
Right.
But I thought it was way cooler to get in the Memphis International Black Film Festival.
Can you please? Do you have a T-shirt that says,
"I
I had a movie in"?
No, I have an IMDb page that says it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And people can't look that up because it's probably not under Colin West.
That sure is not under Colin West. Yeah. Everybody needs 8 IDs. That's pretty much
everybody
what
needs
I
what?
8 IDs. Everybody 8? Needs 8 different identities.
Really?
I'm kidding. I'm overstating.
Okay,
I'm
how
totally
many?
Overstating. I think you need 3.
Okay.
I think you need who you are in front of your family and friends and inner circle, and then I think you need to be who you are at your job, because that's never... Because the first time you swallow your pride down for somebody, you're not being yourself anymore. Seriously.
This is gonna be one of those very kindergarten moments, but yeah. When you started to
I know
say,
what you were gonna
yeah,
I know
I
why
completely,
you
I completely thought you were going
the first time you swallow your boss for a pay raise, you've lost a piece of yourself.
Oh my you said the first time you swallow and my eyes lit up. I just didn't know where you were going with it.
Have you ever seen
Listen, I'm glad you went with my pride.
Yeah.
You know, I'm
you
glad
see,
you went there. But...
Oh, that's what we call it. Have you ever seen the You ever see the Louis C.K. stand-up bit where he talks about how he could never be gay because he could never bring himself to suck a dick?
Yeah.
It's very funny. He's like, I just feel like every time you do it, you just gotta be like, all right, well.
You gotta work yourself up to doing it.
I see ya looking at me. All right, I'm gonna... All right, here we go.
Oh, my God. That's really funny.
Yeah.
So swallowing your pride is something I think is definitely. I feel like a lot of people would see that as a sign of weakness.
But you know what I mean. But I feel like it's gay.
Right. No. But I do. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of people in this world that equate that with weakness.
Sure.
As not doing what you want to do.
I know a couple of people who have never swallowed their pride and have always spoken out, and those people are all unemployed. You know, who just get fired from things constantly or walk out of stuff constantly. And it's just those people just, and it's not a good or a bad thing, but if you, there is a price to be paid for always speaking your mind.
Yes.
And it's not a bad thing. It's not a good thing. It's just, you have to be willing to pay that price.
It might be a bad thing.
Okay.
Well, no. Okay, I like how you ended it there with if you're willing to pay the price
goes with speaking your mind all the time. If that's so important to you that you can't sleep at night if you go home and you just let somebody have one once in a while.
Which could bring us back to what we originally started talking about.
Okay.
Which was Loki and whether or not he's willing to sacrifice, you know, what he believes in for, like, he's not a guy that's willing to sacrifice what he believes
in. And if that's what he wants to do, then more power to him. Right. Really. I mean, there's a part of me that goes, I wish I was more like that guy. Really.
I mean, I guess, yes, I could see that, but there's also...
Knowing that you've lived every day of your life and been completely 100% authentic to everybody all the time, I think that's pretty cool. I mean, Do you shit on yourself, for lack of a better word? Do you shit on yourself for it? Yeah, you
do. I don't think he does.
No, I mean, like, do you shoot yourself in the foot?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. But can you go to bed every night knowing that you've never compromised yourself? Yeah.
But I guess that also goes with whether or not the things he believes are the right things or the wrong things.
But who's... who's to say?
Right, but that's what I'm saying is that, right. Well, I mean, coming from me, and right. I think, I don't know if we've had this conversation, but like meaning of life kind of conversation, like what is the meaning of being here?
Uh-huh.
For me, it's to make it as enjoyable for as many people as you possibly can. I think for me, that's what the meaning of life is, because you only have one life.
Right.
You want to be happy.
Sure.
Why not try to make everyone else's one time that they get to spend this happy, you know what I mean? So to me that's how I've started to live.
You are way more selfless than I am.
Right. Well, but I just don't feel the need.
I buy that. I do. I totally buy that. Like, I like making other people happy. I'm a performer by nature, but I'm also really concerned about legacy, man. Because
when you're gone and everybody else is gone, who cares about your legacy?
I do.
But why?
Because it's my way of getting over my fear of death. I have a horrific fear of...
Because you feel like you will live on if you leave something?
On some level. I don't cope with the feeling of not being here anymore well. Like, I can't sleep if I start thinking about it.
Yeah, we've had this conversation.
Yeah. It just wasn't recorded.
No, it was. It won't play back anymore.
I know, who knows why.
No, but I mean, I I've tried to convince you this before. I mean, and I tried to make you feel better, and it actually kind of made you feel worse.
Yes, much worse.
But listen, I'm just as scared as death as everyone else.
Here's the thing that's funny though, is that it's the one instance in my life where coming to terms with what I believe to be the truth about something has made me feel worse. Because even if you come to, like, grips with the truth of something that's really horrible, at least now you have the, you could say, I have a full and complete understanding of what I believe to be the truth about this thing. And that makes me feel better. Even if it's a shitty thing. And that's like the one outlier where it's like, okay, this is what I believe, and I believe this to be the truth, and oh god, that's pretty terrible. That's pretty, pretty terrible.
Yeah, but I just don't... something like that, that you can't control, it's never, you're never going to know when it's coming from, right? All that stuff, like, I just don't see... I don't see the purpose in fearing something like that.
Sure. I think it's just because I don't feel like, and again, we've talked about this, I just feel like it's, I will feel better about it and more at ease about it as I feel like I've accomplished a bit more. Not so much legacy of, I need people to know what my name is because they read it in a history book in 200 years. That's not likely.
Right, but like, see, the thing with legacy to me is you're not going to be around to enjoy it.
Right.
So why does it matter what kind of legacy you leave?
I think it's more a matter of, it's kind of an extension of what you were saying. It's like...
Making people happy?
If somebody else's life is better after I'm dead because of something I did, that's kind of where I'm at.
But why are you waiting until you're dead to make that person...
Well, no. I mean, if I start now... I mean, somebody who's born after I'm dead.
Oh, I understand what you're saying. Won't be around to see it, so why does it matter?
That's important to me. I mean, it is, but it's not... Well, it's not for selfish reasons. Like, I think... Like, case in point, I love my sister to death. She's the most important person in the world to me. She's my one bullet person. Like, everybody's got a bullet person.
Right.
Like, I will step in front of that for you. That she's my bullet person.
Everyone has a person?
No, I don't think everybody has a person.
Because I don't have a person.
Okay. She's my bullet person. I have one bullet person.
I was joking.
I would still flinch really fucking hard. Ooh. And I would think about, yeah, that's the sound I would make. Is that Heifer from Rocco's Modern Life?
Bullet.
Ooh. That's the sound that I would make if I got shot.
Oh my god.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right there's in too the
much,
kidney.
There was too much joy in that one. You're like, ooh. Ooh.
Ooh, a bullet. Ooh, get the other side next time.
But I'm fascinated, and I know you're trying to avoid the death talk because it's scaring you, but I'm trying to really hammer this point.
I'm gonna die a heat stroke in this room anyway. You might as well.
It's not even that. It's not that bad. It's hot. My ass is really sweaty. But...
Oh, this is done. The shirt's a wrap. It's I'm toast.
No, but what I'm saying is, as far as like the legacy thing, and I think I've even brought this up to you before. Not on the death thing, but in the past and the future, like is all imagination. Like, everything that's happened to you in your past, that's your mind telling you that you should be worried about the things because it's happened before, right? And everything that you think about the future, like death and whether you're going to have a job or not, or, you know, everything, that's right. All future problems, right? But right now, this moment, like, I enjoy making this moment that mm-hmm. we're in right now
sure.
better for people. And if it's holding a door, if it's pulling over the side of the road when someone needs a flat tire, like if it's anything.
I'm big on holding doors, by the way. I'm huge on that. I believe in that completely.
No, but what I'm saying, it goes along with the idea of
sure.
I'm not worried about what's going to happen as much as I'm worried about this moment right now, because that's all that I will ever control. And that's all that I'll ever have, because now that's gone. Right. Mm-hmm. And even if I say in 5 seconds, I'm going to have a moment, 10 seconds from now, that thing will be in the past.
Right.
So this moment is all I'm going to have ever.
Right.
The words that I'm speaking, the mind, like as my mind is working, these moments, these words, now they're gone. The words that I'm speaking now are now past.
Are you just quoting a Natasha Bedingfield song?
Is that a Natasha Bedingfield song?
These words. No, I'm just kidding.
Stay crying.
I have no idea what that is.
What's the Michael Cera song that he sings in Superbad? Is that what you're talking about?
What is that?
He's ass. He's ass. Never gonna, never see before. But you know what I mean?
You know what's a great thing as you were talking about that? I heard something on WNYC, which is our NPR.
WNYC.
WNBC.
Can I just do this once?
Yeah.
Give me like 2 seconds of silence and I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
I'm Colin West.
Oh, that's so good, isn't it? It's exactly. You got to do it like 4 times as slow.
I'm Colin West.
Welcome to another episode of UWA Elite All Access.
I'm Colin West.
Colin West? Damn it, who put a question mark in the teleprompter? But no, on NPR last week, or 2 weeks ago, they had a thing on memory, and oh yeah, there it is, open windows.
But now people can hear the birds.
The first time that you tell a story to somebody about something that happened, your brain changes. Whether it's to make the story sound more interesting or because you're filling in little gaps that you don't really remember, your brain changes 5% to 10% of the story. So by the time you recall a memory 5 to 6 times, it's more than half fake.
I think, so I remember, like, I think
really,
I remember reading an article like that.
Really fascinating that, like, that you think about that. By the time you think of something 10 times, it's almost entirely made up. Like, almost nothing is the same as what it was. Shirt colors, facial expressions, word order.
I happen to know for a fact.
Yeah.
That I've told this story about me flying in the air like a jet plane 15 times. And
sure.
It is 100% true.
Well, you are a beautiful and strange creature.
All I did was snap my fingers, jump into the air, and I flew like a bird.
For how long?
I don't know. Good half hour.
Really?
Yeah, I looked around.
Really?
Saw some towns.
Are you sure that wasn't that movie Birdman?
I didn't see Birdman.
With Michael Keaton?
I've heard it was really good, though.
Oh, yeah, it was.
What my point was is that I know that I'm telling the truth and that it's a true story.
Okay.
Despite your science.
It's not my science.
It's your science. You
not
made it up.
My science. No. Oh, yeah, did
you
I?
You did the research yourself.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
You know, I have no problem with believing that.
Guess.
Guess what?
Guess.
Time?
Yes.
Hour and...
You really think we're an hour in already?
No, I'm going to say we're about 58 minutes in.
We are an hour and 1 minute in.
Hey!
Crazy!
Way to psych me out.
Yes.
You really think we're an hour in? Really?
Here's a fun question.
Okay.
It's fun for me because I like to laugh at myself, but yes. It might not be because I might be opening a door to some insecurities of yours. But, however...
Okay.
I'm going to ask you anyway. You see, well, your phone stinks, so you
yes.
don't see it. When you log on to Facebook and it says that someone has tagged you in a photo.
Right.
What is your immediate reaction to...
I need to hide this from my timeline. That's immediate. I'm hiding this from my timeline every single time. Hidden from timeline.
Why?
I'm a content controller.
Oh, my God. All right, so anyway, my
hidden from timeline is the only 3 words that come to my mind.
But when you see, when you look at the picture, what's the first thing you look at to see, like?
Whether I look stupid.
Okay, yeah. I check to see if I look fat.
Oh, God, yeah, that's where I am
right
now.
That's the first thing that I look at.
I look to see if I'm smiling and if that smile makes my chin do the droop thing. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For some reason, from like a 45-degree side angle, I look fatter than if I'm straight on or if I'm
Oh, this is if you're in ring or something.
No, just in general. If anyone tags me in a photo, the first thing I do is, do I look fat in that picture?
Really?
It's amazing.
Really?
I have really bad, being fat issues.
Yeah.
Like, I look at myself all the time, and I'm just like, you're a fat piece of shit.
Really?
Yeah, all the time.
That's interesting.
Yep.
How tall are you?
5'10".
Yeah, you're an inch taller than me, and I guarantee you that I weigh more than you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for a living, I'm supposed to be in a ring looking like a professional wrestler.
So do you look at other people who are heavier than you and judge?
Yes.
Okay. So, and you know what? I'm saying okay, because... At least it's not just you crazy judging yourself.
Right.
Okay.
No. I do. I mean, I judge other people on that stuff, but...
But not as harshly as you judge yourself.
Oh, God, no.
Sure.
Yeah. And I don't understand it. I don't get it. Like, I shouldn't... As a 31-year-old man, I shouldn't be so into, like...
Such an asshole.
I shouldn't say fat.
You shouldn't be so fat.
You fatty big fatty.
Fatty, fat, fat. No, I do that to myself all the time. Like, I'm sitting here right what? Now.
You're
and
sitting
I'm
here
sweating.
Looking stupid.
I'm sweating
you
in
look
this chair.
Stupid.
I know. And I'm
you
sitting here
stupid.
And I'm like, good Lord, I probably just look like a piece of frying bacon right now.
No,
like,
you look,
I'm
you
disgusting.
Look, you look stupid.
Good.
And I'm going to add it to your timeline.
Hidden from timeline. Untagged.
That's really funny, man.
Oh, yeah.
But that's like that's a funny question that I always, like, I'm sure that I wonder if people, the first thing that they do is it jumps to like their insecurities to see if, you know, that's what it is. Like for me, as soon as I see that I'm tagged, I'm like, I hope I don't look fat in this picture.
Yeah.
And for you, you're like, I hope I don't look like I have a dumb look on my face or something.
Oh, because
you
know? I always have a dumb look on my face. It's the default.
I don't know what I just
what
did.
What just died?
No, I just.
Oh,
that's the latch.
Was that? I was like, is that the tape recorder? Do I have to flip over to side two?
Side B.
Oh, God. Side B. Please fast forward to the end of the tape. 80% of you don't know what I'm talking about.
God, no. Jeez. We're two men in our 30s.
Oh, my God. It's brutal.
Oh, fuck. Are we driving together or are we driving?
Why don't we drive up together?
Well, because you live in Rockaway, right? Is that close? So you're going to drive all the way up, all the way back, and then all the way up again?
Wallington to Rockaway is the same thing as here. All right,
yeah,
it's
I'm
here
just,
to Rockaway.
Okay. I'm just wondering.
Not a big deal.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
So why don't you say that you can go on this microphone?
Yeah.
And don't sit on it.
No, hey. It's not closed for business. Don't even worry about it.
That's a gay joke. Hey, girl, hey. Oh, my God. Yeah, so anyway, if you have anything to promote, if you want to, I mean, I know that show is procrastinating right now, but
yeah.
if you want to throw that date out there.
We've got a hypothetical July 18th show
okay.
in South Amboy. You can check out charitywrestling.com. You can hit us up on Twitter at CTW Charity, and just look up CTW Charity Wrestling on Facebook. And please don't tag me in any photos because I will just hide them from my timeline.
Wow. That's messed up. Anyway, so if you want to hit me up on Twitter, it's at Arcadia NJ, ArchadiaNJ. And just like I did with Sean McNellis, I want to kind of set this as a standard for this podcast. I want you to say something, any phrase that you want to, that people will now tweet at me or tweet at you. So to tell us that they have listened to the entire podcast or that they are even fast forward just to hear you say these words.
Oh, God.
Come on. Give me something.
I'm so Tourette's-y about this that I'm just shuffling through the 12 inappropriate things to get to something that has to do with the podcast. All right.
So I'm going
to
do it anyway.
You know what?
Good. I was going to say they could just tweet me. You look fat.
you know, they could tweet you. You look fat or they could tweet you low key locker room.
Low-key locker room. All right. There we go. That was Arcadia Revelations. We'll see you next time. I didn't hit stop yet.
Really? I know. You said you don't know how to end these.
No, programs. I know how to end it. I just wanted you to...
Ba-ba-ba-da.
This has been a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network. For information on this, as well as our other great podcasts, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network, email us at WDPodcastNetwork@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter at WhiteDragonPN.